Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Future is Asian Commerce. Conflict and Culture in the 21st Century is a geopolitical and economic analysis by Parag Khanna that examines how Asia is reshaping global power in the 21st century. Rather than treating Asia as a single bloc or reducing the story to China alone, the book presents the region as a dense, interconnected system of states, markets, infrastructure corridors, and civilizational traditions. Khanna argues that the world is moving toward a more multipolar order, in which Asia will not only be a major manufacturing and trade hub, but also a center of finance, technology, and cultural influence. The book is written for readers who want to understand long-term global shifts, especially the rise of South and Southeast Asia, the strategic role of infrastructure, and the persistence of competition alongside integration. Its purpose is explanatory as much as predictive, offering a framework for interpreting how commerce, conflict, and culture interact across the Asian century. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Asia as a multipolar system rather than a China-centric bloc. A central argument of the book is that Asia should not be understood as a region dominated by one power alone. Khanna presents Asia as a multi-civilizational system linking the Middle East, South Asia, Southeast Asia, East Asia, and parts of Eurasia through trade, finance, and strategic ties. This matters because it shifts the focus away from a simple rise of China narrative and toward a broader regional structure in which many states shape outcomes. India, Japan, ASEAN members, and other regional actors are not peripheral in this view. They are essential to the balance of power and to the flow of goods, capital, and ideas. The book explains that Asia's future depends on overlapping interests and competition among states that are economically connected, even when politically cautious. That framework helps readers see why the region can be simultaneously integrated and fragmented, cooperative, and tense. It also clarifies why the global order is becoming multipolar, rather than replacing one dominant center with another. Secondly, infrastructure and connectivity as the machinery of Asian power. Khanna treats infrastructure as the practical foundation of Asia's rise. Ports, railways, highways, energy links, digital networks, and shipping lanes are not presented as background details, but as the mechanisms that bind the region together and extend its influence outward. The book emphasizes that Asia's growth is driven not only by manufacturing capacity or population size, but by the ability to connect markets and move capital, people, and commodities efficiently across borders. China's Belt and Road Initiative appears in this context as one important expression of a wider regional connectivity logic, not as a standalone story. The deeper point is that influence in the 21st century increasingly depends on network architecture, especially the capacity to build corridors that lower transaction costs and integrate supply chains. This is a useful lens because it makes clear why infrastructure policy has strategic consequences. It also helps explain why competition in Asia often appears through ports, trade routes, and logistics systems, rather than through traditional military confrontation alone. Thirdly, the economic rise of South and Southeast Asia as the next growth engine. The book argues that the next major phase of Asian expansion will not come only from the established giants of Japan and China, but from what Khanna describes as a new wave led by South and Southeast Asia. India and Vietnam are especially important in this framework because they represent rising hubs of manufacturing, services, entrepreneurship, and industrial diversification. This is significant because it broadens the geography of global production and challenges the assumption that Asia's future is determined entirely by China. Khanna's analysis suggests that companies and governments need to pay attention to smaller but fast-growing economies that are integrating into regional supply chains and attracting investment. These economies matter not only for labor and manufacturing, but also for innovation, middle-class growth, and market expansion. The book's reasoning is that demographic vitality, urbanization, and industrial upgrading are creating a more distributed center of gravity across Asia. This makes the region less predictable, but also more resilient, because growth is spread across multiple nodes rather than concentrated in one national economy. Fourthly, commerce, conflict, and coexistence in a densely connected region. Khanna does not present Asia as a harmonious success story. The book repeatedly stresses that the same networks that promote prosperity can also intensify rivalry, tension, and strategic distrust. Commerce and conflict are therefore inseparable trade ties can reduce isolation, but they do not eliminate competition over influence, technology, territory, or standards. This is one reason the book is more nuanced than celebratory accounts of an Asian century. It argues that the region's diversity creates both opportunity and friction, since different political systems, historical memories, and national interests must coexist within a shared economic space. Asia's future is described as stable in a broad structural sense, but not peaceful in any simple or permanent way. That distinction is important because it helps readers understand why economic interdependence has not erased disputes in the South China Sea, the India-China relationship, or broader strategic alignments. The book's value here is its insistence that integration and rivalry can expand together, and that successful strategy in Asia requires managing both simultaneously. Lastly, why Asia matters for business, policy, and global strategy. The book is not only a diagnosis of world order, it is also a guide for readers who need to act within it. Khanna's audience includes policymakers, executives, investors, and general readers who want to understand how Asia's ascent changes decision-making across sectors. The practical implication is that Western assumptions about markets, governance, and cultural leadership are no longer sufficient. Businesses need to account for local regulation, regional supply chains, demographic change, and the growing importance of Asian capital and consumers. Governments, meanwhile, need to think in terms of diplomacy, infrastructure, and long-term competitive positioning, rather than only short-term crisis management. The book stands out because it combines strategic analysis with a broad civilizational lens, linking economics, geopolitics, and culture instead of treating them as separate fields. That makes it more expansive than a standard business forecast and more concrete than a purely theoretical study of world order. Its main strength is that it helps readers interpret Asia not as a future possibility, but as an already existing force shaping present-day global choices. In conclusion, The Future is Asian should be read by anyone who needs a serious framework for understanding how global power is shifting in the 21st century. It is especially useful for policymakers, international business leaders, investors, students of geopolitics, and readers who want to move beyond simplified, China-centered explanations of Asia. The book offers intellectual value by connecting history, economics, infrastructure, and culture into one coherent picture of regional transformation. It also has practical value because it helps readers think about trade routes, supply chains, demographic trends, and political risk in a more realistic way. What distinguishes it from many books in the same category is its emphasis on Asia as a plural, interconnected system, rather than a single rising nation. Khanna does not present the region as uniformly peaceful or uniformly prosperous. Instead, he shows how cooperation and rivalry coexist inside the same networks. That balance gives the book a more grounded and usable perspective than more deterministic accounts of an Asian century. It is useful both as a strategic briefing and as a broad interpretation of where the world economy and global culture are headed. If you would like to support Parag Khanna, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.